For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
And then did the opposite of that? That's me, right there. I didn't understand that joke either. All right. all right, so Pastor Tom said this. Are you ready to hear from God tonight? Okay, so, okay, now we get a response. That's the great place to respond, by the way. So I hope you guys are ready. Internet audience, I hope you're ready. And I hope you live studio audience is ready. And I just, man, God's going to move tonight. God's going to do something. ¿Está listo? Okay, all right. All right, because if you just came to see the bald man up here, you just came to the wrong place, all right? Because, you know, we could go to Taco Bell and we could just tell knock-knock jokes and we'd be done, okay? It's just that is the extent of it, all right? But I've been praying. I've been studying. I've been asking God to speak through me. And so that's what's going to happen, all right? And I've been praying that God would open your ears, open your heart, and give you something to change your life. If you came for anything less than life change tonight, just go, okay? You came for, no, I'm just kidding. No, no. I will tackle you. I will do nobody leave. Pastor Ron gets so mad. I saw three people leave. Nobody leave. But if you came for life change, you're in the right place, all right? Because here's the deal. God's in this place. We've been prayed up. We've been ready. There's people at the end of service that's going to be up here ready to pray for you, like put their hands on your shoulders, give you a verse, like, you know, like give you a word from God, whatever. And you need to take advantage of that before you go. Don't just come in and perform the motions. Yes, okay, wait, Allie's leading worship. Okay, yes, Lord, we have to high or amen. Okay, like kind of like a jumping jack. And then, you know, here comes the offering plate. Oh, I hate that part, but here's a dollar. And then, you know, it's like a tip. See that's a spiritual maturity thing. This is my attempt at a joke, but it's actually really like a preaching little message. But like, some people that haven't really developed in their faith, you know, like golf ball faith. Get what I said there with the golf ball? Okay. So and it's okay because God uses everything, man. And he just tests your obedience because he says, you know, test me and see that if I don't open up the storehouse of heaven. And so sometimes we come to church, we're like, yeah, man, I'm ready to get spiritual. Here we go. Oh, shoot, the offering plate. Okay. Well, service is really good. I had fun. You know, the bald guy made me laugh, and I sat next to this really hot chick, and so, you know, I'm going to give God a good tip, right? And we just reach in, we give him a dollar, right? Right? I mean, like, none of us are that spiritually, you know, that at that place, right? But let's we think about it. That's the world we live in, right? I go to a restaurant. I got good service. I'm going to give them a tip, right? We go somewhere and somebody's like, you know, parks your car. Oh, I'm going to give them a tip. So we're like nice to God. Oh, God is really cute. So here's a tip. But think about if we started becoming intentional. I will leave it at that, okay? Because my message really is not about giving, but God maybe deserves more than a tip. Just saying. Okay, so we're going to get right into the Word. And if you have your Bibles or your devices, we are going to look at, and we even have it on the TVs for you. What do you think about that? We're going to look to a couple verses out of John 21. John 21 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole of Scripture. It's amazing. It's the story of redemption. It's Peter being a knucklehead but getting called on the carpet, and it's Jesus restoring him. I want you to say something with me, and this is the title of the message tonight, and it's also 3 points that we're going to look at from this passage. We're going to go through a couple other scriptures, and we're going to have a good time while we do it, and we're going to let God impact our heart. But here's the title of the message tonight, and it's also the 3 points. What got in the way of knowing His love? What got in the way of knowing His love? And you get to repeat that with me so that when you get home tonight, you're going to go, wait, I remember the whole message tonight. What got in the way of knowing His love? See, I get to cheat because I get to read it, right? So we're going to say all this together in one sentence. We're going to say, what got in the way of knowing His love? You ready? 1, 2, 3. What got in the way of knowing His love? You guys can just like go, if you have small groups, if you want to have a Bible study at your house this week, take this message, change it around, make it your own, okay? Because you already got it. If you have your Bibles, well, actually, let me warm up. Let's say we're going to have a jumping contest. I won't make you get up. I won't make you stand. But if we were going to have a jumping contest and we brought in a basketball hoop, okay, basketball hoops are 10 feet. And we said, we're going to see who can dunk a basketball. That's the goal. Anybody here? Now, honestly, there may be a couple people here that could do this. Could anybody slam a basketball at 10 feet? Anybody? Because if you can, that's fine. All right, you come up right now and do it. Okay, I'm going to have you come. No, I'm just kidding. He's in the back row, man. He's like, he's coming. Okay. I believe you can. Back in the day, I could. Now I just look at it and go, oh, that's way up there. I used to have hair too. So, if we were going to say everybody's goal tonight is to slam a basketball, that's your goal, we would all fall short, right? Some people are going to get a little closer at it than others, right? YP, you probably get closer than me, all right? I'm just saying, right? You're a baller. So, but can you slam? Almost, but not all the way. So you cannot slam. Okay, this is not about you, so I'm not making fun of you right now. But my point is this, if that I can't slam and you can't slam, although you can get way closer than me, who slammed? Neither one of us, right? And I would say that about all of us. Neither one of us can slam. Or let's take it out a little bit more. Let's say our goal is to touch a cloud, all right? 1, 2, 3. And we're gonna reach up and touch a cloud. Anybody touch it? No, ain't nobody touching a cloud. The point is that we all fall short, right? The goal is to touch a cloud. You're gonna jump higher than me, but that doesn't mean you're any better. That doesn't mean that I'm any worse. We all failed at that. You understand where I'm going with this? I want to tell you, friends, we all fail. We have all failed. We probably will fail in the future. We will sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is not final. At least it doesn't have to be. You can decide tonight. See, because I'm going to talk about the first point is what got in the way. And we're going to talk right about that. What got in the way? I want you to think back, and if you want to close your eyes and do this, I know you're not sleeping right now, but you want to close your eyes and think back to the time where you first gave your life to Christ, all right? Maybe it was a couple different, you know, journeys along your life, and think back. The event is not that important, but I want you to dredge up the feeling you had. I want you to dredge up the excitement, right? Remember how it was when you set your alarm extra early to get up in the morning and read the Bible? Anybody remember that? You remember that? Huh? Some of you guys are still like that. It's awesome. I got saved when I first really got saved, right? Really, you know, like is anybody like that? Like I got saved a lot of times, you know what I'm saying? When I really. I had to say adios to a lot of my friends. Friends, right? So I remember I spent one lonely summer by myself. It was like me, my Bible, and a couple books. You ever have books for homies? You've been there, right? But man, I remember the excitement. I'd be like, it's just me and my books and Jesus and praying. And I would write poems and they're like rap songs at the time. For real, man. All right. And so I would write all the I'm going to show you my stuff, though, okay? You guys got it. You do just leave it there. Oh, white, young, cool. Okay, so think about those times, though, when you couldn't wait to get to church, when you couldn't wait to read your Bible. You're like, oh, man, I never knew there was a book in the Bible called Colossians, but now I read it, and I'm really excited, right? And then somebody said, it's Colossians. You're like, I don't care. I just loved it anyways, right? Remember the first time you read that Italian prophet, Malachi, and then somebody else told you, Malachi, right? Remember that? But you were excited to read it, man, and you were like, yeah. I want you to remember that. And if you are not at that place right now, okay, maybe it was an emotional place. I'm not really trying to dredge up emotions. I'm trying to dredge up the memory, and I'm trying to dredge up the excitement. And if you're not there, and you would say that maybe your relationship with God shifted a little bit, I want you to consider who changed. God didn't change. And I want to remind you about that time because I want you to think about, did something get in the way? Something got in the way of Peter, and we're going to read about that right now. Something got in the way of Peter, man. Peter, man, that boy always had wet socks. You know why? Because he always had one foot in his mouth. It's for real, man. Anybody identify with Peter? Anybody? John 21. Read along with me. We're going to start at verse 12. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Anybody, that's your verse for tomorrow morning, right there, okay? You and Jesus and IHOP, okay? Jesus said to them, somebody got excited. That's good. I like it. I like it. Breakfast, that innocent meal. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" Because that was their Lord. That was the Lord, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, all right, so he made breakfast for him. They were fishing, if you guys remember right? They were fishing. The chapter before this was the resurrection. And so then we come to chapter 21, and Jesus was revealing himself to the disciples. And then he came and made breakfast for Peter and James and John. And they were going to have fish for breakfast. And Jesus prepared it because Jesus always takes care of them. And here's a little discourse that happens between Jesus and Simon Peter. And I want you to understand Jesus' gentleness. We're going to unpack this passage in just a little bit. I've preached this another way. And if this really piques your curiosity, go to vbf.org. There's a message on there called "I Love You to Death." And it takes another look at this passage in a different way. But tonight, let's just read this. I want to make some other comments in a different manner. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, here's the simple part. If your relationship with Christ is too complicated, just look at Simon Peter's answer right here. He probably didn't even have the ability at this moment to say anything else. And Simon Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you." Sometimes that's all it takes. When something gets in the way, all you got to do is say, "I love you, Lord." You don't have to, right? Yesterday's Valentine's Day. You may have had a good year with your spouse. You may have had a bad year. But you know what? Yesterday, if you just would have said, "Baby, I love you." Slate clean, right? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to them, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." A little bit more of the backstory. Not only in chapter 20 do we see Jesus rising from the dead and showing the empty tomb, but we also see Jesus presenting himself to the disciples. And here, Jesus is on a mission to restore Peter. See, Jesus knows that Peter let something get in the way. Peter was probably one of the biggest knuckleheads of the whole Bible. Because we were told earlier that Jesus was talking to the disciples, and Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Hey, you know what? You guys are gonna have an opportunity. I'm gonna get in trouble, and you're gonna have an opportunity to walk away from me," my paraphrase here. And Peter stood up in front of all the disciples, and he goes, "Jesus, even if every one of them turn their back on you, I will never turn my back on you." I mean, I can make some jokes about that, but that's pretty braggadocious. That's pretty bold. I think he probably meant it. I think he probably meant like, "Yeah, Jesus, you know what? If they come and take you away and throw you to prison, I'll go to prison with you. Jesus, if they come and, you know, beat you up or mess you up, man, I'll stand up for you more than all these knuckleheads will." Peter made a pretty bold proclamation, but Jesus turned it right back around on Peter and he said, "Listen, son, not only will you not do that, but before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me three times." Whew. That's the backstory of what Peter's experiencing right now. So when Peter, before Jesus made him breakfast, when Peter and his fishing buddies were out in the middle of the sea and they knew it was Jesus, Peter started thinking, "Oh man, what am I going to say?" Because the last time that he saw Jesus, Jesus said, "You're going to deny me three times." And then Jesus went to the cross. And Peter knew that if he would have identified himself with Jesus, they would have put him on a cross, probably right beside him. And Peter cowered. None of the other guys had a chance that we know of to stand up for Jesus or to deny Jesus. But Peter tried to stand up, and he failed miserably. So you see this play on three times, three rooster crows. And then Jesus, in the passage that we just read, he spent three times restoring Peter. See, when you goof up and you're as big a knucklehead as Peter, Jesus always is gracious with you. And he says, do you love me? See, the other night you said you love me a lot more than any other people. So I'm gonna ask you right now. I always like to make scripture come alive. And so I know there's a team going to Israel next week, and I'm so pumped for you guys. You'll see the Sea of Galilee, and you'll see this very place where Jesus had this talk with the disciples. I kind of picture Jesus with his hand on one of the fishing boats, maybe Peter's fishing boat. And he says, hey, son of John, do you love me more than these? Two things could have been happening right now. Jesus could have meant two different things when he said, do you love me more than these? He probably meant both. But I think Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, do you love me more than these? And he probably rubbed his hand on the boat and said, do you love me more than these, than fishing, than your job, than your occupation, than doing your own thing? Do you love me more than this stuff? You see, Peter, for 3 years, had left fishing completely and followed Jesus to be his disciples, to be Jesus' disciple. And so the first thing he did when he failed was go back to his old ways. And I think on one hand, Jesus was going, do you love me more than having a job? I thought I called you to win people for Christ. I thought I called you to be a disciple. I thought I called you to give all this stuff and you walk away. There's nothing wrong with having a job, by the way. I'm not talking about that. A lot of you guys can worship Jesus with the job that you do and doing a great job. In fact, that's what you're called to do. Amen. I can get excited about that. But this is just Peter's case. And he's saying, do you love me more than taking care of yourself? More than doing your own thing? Because Peter just completely just backslid. He goes, I'm going back to my old ways. The second thing that Jesus could have meant, and he probably meant it too, was, Peter, do you love me more than these? And he might have even gestured over to the other disciples and said, do you love me more than these? Evoking the thoughts that happened a couple of nights before when Peter said, I will never deny you. These guys will deny you, but I will never deny you. And everybody knew the joke was on Peter because he was a joke, because he was the one that did deny Jesus. And I think that weighed on Peter. Have you ever been to that place where your sins convicted you? Your sins were bad, man. Your guilt would not let you lift your head up. Your guilt would not let you think good thoughts. Your guilt was driving you even. I believe somebody out there, I don't know if it's on the internet or here, I believe your guilt has been so bad in the past that you even considered suicide. Because of the guilt, because you were sorry for sinning and you thought another sin is the only thing that's gonna cure me from this. I got news for you. If that is you or that was you, Jesus is the only one that can cure you. Forgiveness is the only thing that can cure you. Not suicide. That's taking the easy way out. Yes, it is taking the easy way out because you're just done. Jesus wants to take you right now and say, I need to forgive you, and you need to get forgiveness. You need to receive that. You need to own up to this, right? But I will take away your guilt. I will take away the condemnation of the enemy, and I will give you a plan and a purpose for your life, as we're going to see what he does with Peter. Amen. So I'm telling you right now, if there's any thoughts of suicide, man, do not leave here. Man, text us, email us if that's on the internet. We will have one of our internet pastors get back to you because we want to help. Because the enemy is the master of lies. He would love to heap condemnation and guilt upon you when Jesus wants to forgive you. And just like he forgave Peter. And he said three times, Peter, do you love me? I cannot imagine what was going on in Peter's head. Can you imagine? I mean, this is an awkward of awkward conversations. Jesus knows, Peter, you denied me three times and you bragged that you never would. And over all these guys, you bragged the most and you blew it the most. And Jesus' conversation with Peter is so gentle. Peter, do you love me more than these? What do you say? What do you say when you've been unfaithful to a friendship or to a spouse, and or as a kid, you got caught doing something, you had to fess up to your parent, and your parent knows everything, or your friend knows everything, and they go, is there still hope for us? Do you still love me more than anything? What do you even say? I think you say the only thing that Peter could. Yes, I love you. Sometimes that's all it takes. Because when things get in the way, good things or bad things, when something gets in the way of your relationship with Jesus, all you need to do is run back to Jesus and go, I love you. You don't have to wait for him to chase you. He will. He'll chase you down. He's always after you. But it's up to you to make the decision. He's not going to force himself upon you. You can run as long as your sneakers will carry you, and he will be right behind you every bit of the way. Anybody ever try to outrun God? Can't do it, can you? Can't do it. He will outrun you. He'll run ahead of you and be waiting right there. Right? About time. You made it. And he does not have a big stick to whack you over the head. Ha-ha, you sin. Wham! Anybody ever grow up like that? I kind of grew up like that. Right? I thought, man, if I sin, I'm just going to fall down in front of the whole class today. Right? I'm going to do something stupid. Somebody's going to beat me up. I thought that was punishment. Because I thought God was this big guy that at the club. When God runs to you, he just says this. Still love me? All we have to do is say, yeah. We need to move along, huh? We need to move along. I'm telling you, if you're running, stop the madness. Get off the treadmill, because that's all it is. Stop running. You can't outrun God. Take your shoes off, relax, sit down, and let Jesus come up to you and just go, still love me? And all you got to do is just say this. You know that I do. That's all it takes, man. That's it. When you come up tonight, some of you guys have been running from God, and you're going to come down here tonight, and you're going to pray with one of our prayer counselors. You don't even have to say anything. I believe there's going to be people up here bawling. You don't have to say a word. Our prayer counselor will come right up to you. They'll put a hand on your shoulder, and they will pray the exact prayer that you need to have prayed for you. Someone will give you a word. Someone will give you a prayer, a scripture, whatever. Don't leave without spiritual business happening tonight, all right? So we can have good things get in the way of God, right? What got in the way? Well, in Peter's case, a job could get in the way, right? Some of you guys, you need a job, and we need to pray for you. Anybody need a job right now? Anybody need a job? Keep your hand up. Yeah, here, you're going to be joined by another people. Anybody need a better job? Put your hand up. We're praying. Father, internet, put your hand up. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you have a way of orchestrating things. You have a way of opening doors for people that need occupation, people that need jobs, people that need income. And I pray that you would open doors for them and lead us to those places. And for those of us that need a better job, a better boss, a better place to do ministry and serve you and worship as we work, I pray that you provide those things too in Jesus' name. And everybody believes? Amen? We had a good amen on that one. See, there are good things and bad things that can get in the way of our jobs, of what God has for us. Good things and bad things that get in the way. We already talked about the bad things: guilt, shame, sin. All these things get in the way of your relationship with Christ. Good things, maybe an occupation. What about finance? Could that get in the way? I mean, we need finance to get along, right? But can the want of too much finance get in the way? Yes, absolutely. Right? What about career and pride? Could that get in the way? You don't want to just be, this guy. You want to be the boss of this guy. You want to be the bad dude, man. That can get in the way of God too. I said earlier, if you ever felt distant from God, consider who moved. Let me ask you another couple questions about that. Has the still small voice gotten quieter? Has it gotten quieter and easier to ignore? Sometimes we bask in God's blessings, but we forget why we are blessed. In the passage, Jesus tells Peter, once he accepted his love, he said, do you love me? Jesus, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. You see, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life, and it involves other people and you helping them. We all try to do it on our own sometimes. Anybody remember the guy Keith Green? Used to be a singer back in the day. His songs just rock me. And I was thinking as I was praying through this message today, and this song called My Eyes Are Dry came to mind when we talk about what got in the way of God, and then we'll move along. Keith Green's lyrics go like this. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. Is this somebody that knows the forgiveness of God? Knows the love of God and his and the depths of that love? But what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew with the wine of your blood. Amen. Amen. Get the stuff out of the way. Good and bad, get it out of the way. Just cleanse it. You know the great thing is you can have a clean start no matter if your sin is little or big. Or maybe you didn't even know you were living in sin until God's speaking to you right now. But the beauty is you can get rid of that stuff. So nothing will be in the way by the time you leave here today. All right, there we go. So what got in the way of knowing? Let's talk about knowing. What got in the way of knowing? We already talked about things that got in the way of Peter. Peter knew that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus had quizzed him right before that. Peter, who do you say I am? He said, well, some say that you're this, some say that. He said, Peter, who do you think I am? Peter said, I think you are the living Christ, the Son of God. He goes, good for you. You're right. We know these things, but you know what? In the world of fake news, in the world of an aggressive anti-Christian culture, sometimes it's hard to know what we know, is it not? Well, here's the deal. I think we know by having faith. Say faith. Faith is something that you need to operate on. And you say, I have a blank in Jesus Christ. What? A relationship, a trust. But it boils down to one of these words sometime will be faith. Why are you a Christian? Because I have a faith in Jesus Christ. Faith about what? Faith that I believe he walked on planet Earth 2,000 years ago. Cool. He was a historical figure. I don't think anybody will debate that. Does that mean you have faith in him? So you got to know in your knower. You got to know in your knower that Jesus is real. You got to remember the time when you came to faith and go, my sins were ready to consume me. I was a bad dude. I had my life going nowhere. My life was pathetic, and I gave my pathetic life to Christ. He grabbed it, he massaged it, and he made it new. I know that he changed my life. Everybody here and everybody there needs to know that you know that Jesus is your Savior. Why? Because you know that you know that you know. Faith is what leads you to know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. If you're kind of doubting your faith right now, let me ask you this. How's that Bible reading time going for you? Well, I don't really read my Bible that much, but I listen to a lot of news and I do some podcasts and, you know, I listen to the preachers at church and I go to 4 or 5 different churches, so I make sure, you know, I go to the best one. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the podcast and you church hopping. No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. If you haven't heard God's voice recently, maybe a couple things. I'm not saying you're in error, and I'm not saying you are in sin. I'm saying maybe you're too busy for God. Anybody been there? I've been there. That's an easy place for me to be. I'm too busy for God. Hey, God, me, we're bros, right? God, me and you, yeah. So I'll catch you next week. I'm telling you, I've been there. It's a temptation for me, right? I mean, because I can quote scripture. I know a couple Greek words, you know what I'm saying? So I can really fake the funk. But when it comes down to it, is that what I want to live my life like? No, thank you. No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the God. Hearing by the word of the Lord. Are you an avid reader? Are you an avid listener? Are you an avid consumer of the things of God? Are you a consumer of the things of the world? When you get to heaven, God doesn't care about how much CNN you watch. When you get to heaven, he doesn't care about how many episodes of The View you watch. When you get to heaven, he doesn't care that you knew every lyric to Beyonce's new record. When you get to heaven, he's going to go, did you know me? When you get to heaven, he's going to know, you know that times when scriptures and all that stuff, man, I wanted to talk to you so much, but your ears were already full of other stuff. All right, so I'm going to get excited about that. And it's a constant temptation. I'm guilty. I got my radio too. Don't you think for a second that I don't have me some ESPN happening? All in moderation, right? We need to know that faith comes by hearing. I remember God told me to take good notes because he was going to take me through a season of my life that was going to go fast. And he said, I want you to get ready to learn. I want you to take good notes. And I said, well, God, I mean, you know, he goes, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to really give you some good download stuff. And I said, well, that's cool. So I'm going to read the Bible a lot. Yes. I'm going to hear a lot of words from you from that. Yes. You're going to hear words from me outside of the Bible through other people too. All right, I'm down. And I said, well, God, does that mean I can't read other books? You know, because I like to read other books, right? I'm just a reader. By the way, readers are leaders. Just saying. And he said, no, that's fine. But just remember that my word is not a book. My word is my word. See, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will remain. It just happens that we read it in a Bible, or we read it on a tablet, or we listen to it. You know, sometimes, man, I drive a lot, right? Is there anything less spiritual about putting on an audio Bible? The answer is no. Whatever it takes to get in it. And I want the word of God to impact me more than anything else. I don't really know that I spend more physical time every day reading and doing spiritual things than I don't, right? I mean, 24 hours a day, if you read 8, so there's like 16 left, right? So do I really spend 8 of my waking hours like reading and praying? I just don't. I don't think anybody does. So it's about the quality, not the quantity, right? Because faith comes by hearing by the word of the Lord, and we need to pay better attention to God than pop culture, better attention to God than what our TV says, better attention to God than fake news or real news or what. Man, heaven and earth will, not may, not possible, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word remains. Amen. If you want faith, find it in the word of God. Amen. Again, know it in your knower. What's your knower? Figure it out. No, you know, I'll tell you what it is. Here's what your knower is. Figure it out. No, I'm really going to tell you. No, I'll tell you the same thing, right? You see it, yeah, figure it out. Yeah. Your knower is just the thing that you know, right? How do you know that your boyfriend or girlfriend loves you? Do you have a contract with them? You know, you're like, yeah, I really do. He bad. You know that you know, right? How do you know your kids love you? You know that you know. How do you know that God is real, that you are a Christian, that you have a hard time sinning? You know and you know her. Just get it in your knower, okay? So, again, the message and the title is, what got in the way of knowing his love? And I would put his crazy, 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 crazy love. Do you know he loves you? He loves you like a madman. He loves you a lot. He does. See, how many of you guys have kids? Yeah. How many of you guys have parents? If you didn't raise your hand for either one of those, you are in trouble, okay? And we will pray for you at the end. I said this once before. Kids are hereditary, right? If your parents don't have any, you probably won't either. I love the second wave of laughter, right? You're like, that makes no sense. Oh, it's a joke. Okay. You want to do everything for your kid, do you not? Oh, baby, that guy's bullying you on the playground. Here's what you do. Go kick him in the face. Just when he's not looking, kick him in the face. Oh, bye. Here's a pair of cowboy boots, too. Brand new ones. Pointy toes. Kick him in the face. His nose will get bloody, and he'll never mess with you again, okay? Love you. Right? What do you mean? Like all the other kids have Air Jordans and you don't have Air Jordans? Well, here's $200. You go buy a pair of Air Jordans because I don't want you to miss out on anything. Oh, baby, you want a car? Well, here, I only got one, but I love you, so I'm going to give you my car. I know you're only 12, but you want it, so, and I love you. You hear what I'm saying? A good parent wants to do everything for their kid. Why? Because you're a good parent. I think God's the same way. I think he wants to do everything for you, man. He wants to give you a Grammy. He wants to give you like unlimited time in a studio. He wants to do everything, right? But he can't. You know why? Because you'd be a big, fat, spoiled, rich dummy. Right? Oh, God, I love being your kid. I just wish I had a pile of gold. Oh, hey, a pile of gold right here. Man, I just wish I had, you know, a couple of enchiladas, right? Oh, there they are. If we do that too much, let's think about it. Who is God? The guy calling the shots, right? So do we want to kind of become God, right? I mean, if God answered every prayer all the time, God, I pray for this, boom. God, I pray for this, boom. We'd become a big, fat, rich, spoiled dummy. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? So as a good parent, you've got to teach your kids delayed gratification. You've got to teach your kids, baby, you're 12. You will not in this lifetime get a car when you're 12 years old. Ain't gonna happen. In fact, you ain't gonna get a car till you're 30 because I've seen how people drive in Bakersfield, okay? You don't want a car in Bakersfield. You gotta have a truck so you can see eye to eye with everybody. You hear what I'm saying? Right? I crack up every time I see like this big old dually come, you know, like somebody pulls out and it's like this little tiny girl. I'm like, where's your husband drive? A horse. No. You need to maybe look in the mirror next time you feel like God's not giving you everything that you deserve. Because, by the way, you don't deserve anything. But everything you get is a blessing. And you need to realize that God doesn't want to spoil you. Amen. God does not want to spoil you. He wants to bless you, but you've got to let him bless you. If you're going to be the spoiled rich kid, God may hold back on stuff. So you know what? You need to learn to be that humble person that appreciates everything that they have, right? And deserves nothing but an opportunity to serve. You know, the disciples in the book of Acts, they went away blessed because God counted them worthy to be beaten for him. See, we only want to be counted worthy by getting stuff from God. We don't want to get counted worthy by getting beat up for Jesus. I just want to be worthy for receiving that pile of gold. God doesn't want a bunch of rich spoiled kids. He wants you to take the thing that started in him. See, this whole love thing, it started in him, right? When we were without love, when we were lost in our own sin, his love for us and nothing in us ourselves, his love for us said, I'm gonna love this guy. Why? Because it's in me. It's nothing in him. And in that, he came and gave us love. He loved us. He put us back together and loved us because he is love, not because there was anything special about us at all. It's all about him. Let me read this quote. Some of you guys were Facebook friends and you saw this on Facebook. It just rocked me. Listen to this. Jesus did not die for our righteousness, but he died for our sins. He did not come to save us because we were worth saving, but because we were utterly worthless, ruined, and undone. He did not come to earth out of any reason that was in us, but solely and because of reasons which he took from the depths of his own divine love. In due time, he died for those he describes, not as godly, but as ungodly, applying to them as hopeless as an adjective as he ever could have selected. It has nothing to do with you. Say this with me. Say, it's not about me. But it is about you. It is not about you. Man, every day you need to get up and just go, another day to serve the Lord. What if you got up tomorrow morning and you looked at the sun coming up and you go, that sun comes up not because of anything in me, but because God wants to show me a sunrise and give me the gift of 24 hours so that when I see that sun come up on the next day, that I have served him with everything I could. Maybe it's by just doing a good job at your work. Maybe it's by loving on somebody. Maybe it's by a smile. Maybe it's by a hug, a high five, whatever. It doesn't have to be, you know, clothing the leper. It can be the simplest of simple things. But we loved, ladies and gentlemen, because we love. We are loved because he loved us first. And we love others because of the love that he has given us. Amen. Yeah. A couple of verses, man. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's that crazy love of Jesus that we're talking about, right? right? So what got in the way of knowing his love? Say his love. Man, he has got nothing but love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. For I am convinced, Romans 8, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Nada! Nothing, man! So we need to walk out of here, not as spoiled rich kids, but walk out of here as loved kids and go, my God loves me. Anything else, bring it, because I don't care. I am loved and I have love to give. Let's go love. Let's do this. I love love, man. Valentine's got it all wrong. Man, Valentine's ain't about a chocolate heart. My Bible says God is love. You can't even love your spouse if you can't love God correctly. By loving God correctly, you can love your kids better. By loving God and knowing him better, you can love your coworker better. You can love that guy that hates you because God is love and God is inside of you. I'm glad somebody came to have church here tonight. John 15. In fact, I'm going to close with this scripture and then a quick story. The NASB says this, "This is my commandment, that if you love one another just as I have loved you, greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends." Then Jesus says this, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave doesn't know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all these things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Jesus told Peter, get over your sin. I'm here. I'm gracious. I'll forgive you. Get everything out of the way that's in between us and know me. Know who I am. Know that I'm good. Know that I love you. Know that I have your best interests in mind. And don't forget that I love you with a crazy love, because I want you to have that love and I want you to love and serve others. Peter, do you love me? Jesus, you know I love you. Then go feed my sheep. It's that simple. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Go feed the sheep.
Yes.
I'm just saying. Little kid came home from Sunday school and he said, "Mommy, how much does Jesus love me? Does he love me this much?" "Nah, baby, he loves you more than that." "Does he love me this much?" "Nah, baby. He loves you so much more than that." "Does he love me this much?" "Baby, you know how much Jesus loves you? He loves you this much." And he stretched out both of his hands and he took a nail in each one of them and he died on the cross. That's how much he loves you. Amen. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray that this crazy, 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 crazy love that we don't even understand, but yet it's ours. And I pray that that crazy love would be so in us that it would drive us, knowing that we're the recipient of that love, it would drive us to love others. It would drive us to love the unlovable. It would drive us to love those that look different from us, those that act different from us, those that smell different from us. Father God, one last time, I just ask your presence to move in and out of the aisles. Father, there's some of us that need to come to this altar tonight and bring some pretty bad stuff. We prayed earlier for somebody that may have been contemplating suicide. And I pray, God, that we would be able to pray with that person. And if you're watching this at home on the internet, I just want to tell you, God has a plan for your life. Satan also has a plan for your life. And he wants to terminate your life. But Jesus comes that you have life to the fullest. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus comes to give you life to the fullest. Receive life. Receive life. Father, I pray that every one of us that need to have an encounter with you tonight, we would do that. And God, you would let us know that we are loved to love others. We are forgiven to forgive and love others. You have given us gifts and talents and abilities to use them to draw our brothers and sisters closer to you because we are your children. God, if we go tonight, let us go in safety. If we stay and pray, let the Holy Spirit of God do ministry here tonight.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love, here is our